Okay, tonight we're going to have our final lesson on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. That's what we want to do. We've had enough lessons that when we finish tonight, you're going to have plenty of information. The last few lessons have been knowing your authority, and this is what we're going to finish with tonight. Last week, we had know what your authority covers, and it covers anything Jesus used his authority over. And it covers all the authority and power of the enemy, and we cover that in detail. Tonight we're going to cover one more area of two parts that our authority covers. I was going to go on, but I just couldn't get away from this. So you know what I'm going to do. We're going to go over this. You've heard it before, but God wants you to hear it again. So we're going to do it. Turn to Galatians 3:13, please. You have authority to refuse to allow something called the curse of the law in your life. If it comes upon your life, you as a Christian have authority to refuse to allow it in your life. A lot of people don't know this, but it's absolutely true. If you ask the average Christian, what have you been redeemed from? They would say, I have been redeemed from sin. Thank God, praise the Lord. And they would be right. But they would only be partially right, because the redemption from sin is only part of our total redemption. Galatians 3:13 is precious in that it reveals the full extent of what we've been redeemed from. So let's take a look at what it says. Verse 13 says, and I'm going to read it, Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14. Why did he do this? Why did Jesus do this? He did this that the blessing of Abraham might come on some people called the Gentiles, which we'll talk about, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, in very simple words, what this tells us as Christians, everyone really, has been redeemed from something called the curse of the law. And the reason they were redeemed from this is so something called the blessing of Abraham might come on God's people. All right? Well, we've been redeemed, and redeemed means purchased back from, just like if you went to a pawn shop and you needed some money and you took in a tool or a camera or something like that, you know how pawn shops operate, right? And you go in and you give them your camera temporarily and they give you some money and they give you a little ticket. And that means you can come and get your camera back if you give them that ticket later on and some money. Okay, the money that they loaned you on that camera plus a little more. Or you just leave it there and they'll sell it eventually after so many days. Well, you know, when we didn't know Jesus, unbelievers really are all locked up in a pawn shop by Satan, really. And Jesus walked in there and redeemed or purchased back all the people in this world by giving his life for us. Well, everybody says, well, I know, that's what I said. Christ has redeemed us from sin, from the sins that we did. Yes, he did, but he also redeemed you from something called the curse of the law. And that is the full curse that came upon mankind for not keeping the law. No one could. But Jesus did. And then he went to hell and paid the price for us. And so he purchased us back. He redeemed us from something called the curse of the law. We're going to find out what that is. But you remember, it says he redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? It tells you right here. He did it by being made a curse for us. In other words, he redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse himself. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You ever wonder why he said that? It's because he'd become a curse. And God could not, and he'd become the very sin that we were. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus himself, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin on that cross. In the Old Testament, there was a case where people were being attacked by snakes and dying, and they came before Moses, and they said, "What can we do? What can we do?" And God went, and Moses went before God, and God says, "Here's what you do. You make a brass serpent, and you put it on a pole, on a cross, and you raise it up, and when the people look upon that serpent, they'll be healed." And then Jesus, in his own ministry, mentioned that when Moses lifted it up. And he said this. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What Jesus was telling us was, the reason they used this, you ever wonder why it was, why did they use a serpent? Why didn't they use a lamb? Or why didn't they use a dove or something? Because he's the Lamb of God. Why didn't they show a lamb up there? They showed a serpent. You know why they showed a serpent? Because Jesus was made to be sin for us. And so a serpent was what Jesus, when that sin came upon him, took all the sin of the world, he went to hell to pay the price for that sin. Now, he never committed the sin. No, we know that. But he took that sin upon himself and took the punishment for us, for us. He became a curse for us, is what I'm saying. That's why we don't have to be made a curse. That's why we're free from the curse today. Okay?
You're great explaining that.
Okay.
I always wondered, when I'd read that passage, what it meant and why he would have them to look on a serpent.
Okay.
To, now I know.
Because the serpent was the cursed, remember, God told that serpent he was cursed from then on. And that was a symbol of being cursed, was that serpent. But when they looked upon it, the people looked upon it, what happened? They were healed. And today, when people look upon that cross and say, "Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sickness," guess what? They're healed today. See, that's the type and the shadow that was in the Old Testament, showing us what was going to happen later. That's what we need to do today when we feel sickness come upon us or something. Look upon that and say, "Jesus, you took that. You became a curse for me. I was redeemed from the curse of the law. And in that curse was every sickness and every disease. That means I have been redeemed from every sickness and every disease. Not only sin, but every sickness and every disease. Poverty as well." And when those things, the curse of the law, comes upon a Christian, all you have to do is find that foul enemy that's trying to bring that curse on you. Tell him you've been legally redeemed from that and you're not putting up with it in Jesus' name, and it has to go. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful benefit. The curse of the law we have been redeemed from. And if you want to find out what's in that curse, all you got to do is go back to Deuteronomy, and you know where it is, Karen. You talk about it a lot. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And verses 15 through the end of the chapter tell you what all the curses are. Now, if you look in there, you can go, "Oh, my goodness, you know, oh, my gosh, oh." Well, don't get scared. Just realize that everything mentioned there, you're redeemed from. And in that curse was spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. When any of those comes upon your life, you have the authority to refuse to allow it in your life. Turn to... keep your finger at Galatians 3:13, but turn to Matthew chapter 18. I want to show you something. A lot of people have not really known what this has meant. And I'd like to just kind of call it to your attention. Matthew 18, verse 18. We're going to have one of you people read this one. Who's got that? Do you have it, Karen? Read verse 8.
"I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
Did you ever wonder what that meant? What do you think that means? Now, you first got to look up a little bit, because what the binding and the loosing means. Well, if you look it up in the Greek, it says, I could read it this way, and you'd get maybe a better understanding of it. Whatever you bind or refuse to allow on earth will be refused to be allowed in heaven. In other words, it'll be backed up in heaven. But whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. That simply means it's up to you. If you're going to allow the curse on you, it'll be allowed in heaven. If you refuse to allow the curse in your life, it'll be refused in heaven. And that's simply saying that if you'll use your authority and refuse to allow the curse in your life, God will back it up in heaven. That's what that means. Whatever you bind or refuse to allow on earth will be refused in heaven for you. In other words, they'll back you up. But if here's the thing that's sobering, whatever you allow will be allowed in heaven. In other words, if you don't stand up for your rights, God isn't going to stand up for them. It'll be allowed. So we need to use our authority to refuse to allow the curse to come in our life. Now, here's the neat thing about, I love this. I didn't get this revelation until maybe, I'd say a year or two ago. I was reading this one day, and it says, Christ has redeemed. You know, you get a lot out of it if you'll meditate on the scriptures rather than just read them quickly. I was reading on this over and over one day, and I was reading, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And then I read, he did this that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Then I got to thinking, well, why in the world, if we're redeemed from the curse, will we need the blessing of Abraham? I got just to thinking about it. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Just because you're redeemed from poverty doesn't necessarily mean you're prosperous. Just means you don't have poverty anymore. And prosperity was in the blessing. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about it mathematically, kind of. Just because something isn't negative doesn't necessarily mean it's positive. There's another number in there called what? What number is neither positive nor negative? Say it.
Zero.
In other words, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's negative. All that has been taken care of if we'll refuse to allow it in our life. But he went another step further. He didn't just redeem us from the bad things in life. He also said, I'm going to now give you the good things in life. Did you know that you can, it's not the same as having the good things just to be, not have the bad things. You kind of be in between. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you're not having horrible health problems, just because you're not having horrible financial problems, doesn't necessarily mean you're prospering and feeling great either. You understand what I'm saying? But God is saying here, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law, and on top of that, I'm going to throw in Abraham's blessing, which is clear over in the positive end of things. He didn't just do away with the negatives, what I'm saying. He went a step further and gave you a bunch of positive stuff called Abraham's blessing, which is wonderful when you read about it. So we got two things here. We've been redeemed from the curse, and all the things were in the curse, poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. We've been over this before, and I've given you the scriptures. But tonight, I don't want to spend any more time on this than I have to. And you've got the outline there. So God has redeemed us from this curse of spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. Now, did you know that, here's another thing. It says in here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the who? Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How come it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on Gentiles? Why doesn't it just say on everybody? Because, you know, they're not Christians, but there's another reason too. Because Abraham's seed were eligible for the blessing, even in the Old Testament. If you go back and study, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and he also said in Exodus chapter 23, that if they would hearken to his word and do what it says, sickness wouldn't come into their, they had a covenant with him, and sickness would not come into their lives. So they had a covenant. So that blessing of Abraham is already upon the Jewish race, or anyone who was part of the seed of Abraham. Now, you're at Galatians 3:13. Read on here. He did this that the blessing of Abraham, that they already had, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that they might receive the promise through faith. Now go down to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, that was the Jews, were these promises made. Now go to verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. And that's how it came on the Gentiles, through Jesus. See, Jesus, the Bible tells us this, the blessing of Abraham was already part of the promises for the seed of Abraham, the Jews. However, it came on the Gentiles, that's us. How do we know it's us? Because it said, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed too. God considers us Abraham's seed when we're Christ. You got that? So we have the promise now. It came on the Gentiles. Any Gentiles, so who does the promise apply to? The Jews and any believers there are. All right? That's why some of the Jews have been blessed so over the years, you know, that would hearken to these promises and claim these promises are theirs. Even back then, they had a covenant with God. God didn't make, he's made his covenant with who? Abraham. That was a long time back. And his seed inherited these blessings as they went on. Not everybody, but just the lineage that came through Abraham, then Isaac, and then his children, and then Israel, or Jacob, and all his 12, remember? All those, Joseph and Judah and all the rest of them. They all had those blessings. And it just spread out like that through the Jews. Jews, we know today, means more than just the tribe of Judah. That's where the name Jews came from. But it applies to all the seed of Abraham and to Christians, because if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. So we've been redeemed from the curse and we're eligible for the blessing. Now, here's where our authority comes in. We have to use our authority to refuse to allow the curse in our lives. Anytime it seems like the curse is involved in your life, find out what it includes, poverty, sickness, spiritual death. And if any of those things come in your life, you can come against Satan in the name of Jesus, because it's illegally. Now, you can do some other things that will foul this up yourself, too. You can get out of the love commandment, and that will block the blessing. And you can also, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. How else can the curse come upon us? First, you have to be a Christian. But if you don't know about it, you don't know the curses, you've been redeemed from the curse, it doesn't do you any good. All right? And so, if you get out of the love walk, or don't know that it applies, or in financial things, you need to sow as well. You know, we reap what we sow. So we need to be givers as well. Saying you've done that, then you can come before the enemy and you can say, Satan, I refuse poverty. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to put up with this. It can be in all kinds of forms. You know, anytime you're starting to be ripped off, you haven't done anything wrong and you're being sued, for example, say. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from people, but what's moving the people?
The devil.
The devil's behind a lot of this stuff. You can come against him in the name of Jesus and go to the root cause and save yourself a lot of bucks. You know, I was in business for almost 30 years, and I worked all over the world. You know, I never once had to hire a lawyer the whole time I was in business. I never got sued once. That's amazing. People hear that and they said, I can't imagine something like that. Well, I knew I had an advocate with the Father. I knew what my rights and privileges were. I knew the Word of God said in the blessing of Abraham that he'd made me the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. And he said that anyone rises up against me one way, he's going to flee before me seven ways. And I would claim that. Okay, that's in the blessing. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. But first of all, you need to know that you've been redeemed from the curse and you're eligible for the blessing. All right. Let me just show you a woman who forgot what her rights were. The devil attacked her, and Jesus came along, reminded her what her rights were, and got her healed. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13. You ever wonder why some of these things were put in the Bible? Everything in the Bible is for a reason. Okay? And sometimes we think they're just nice stories, but there's usually a deeper reason for these things. I'm going to read there. Verse 10 of Luke chapter 13. When he was teaching in the synagogues, Jesus was, on the Sabbath, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. How long?
18 years
she put up with this thing, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Do you understand what that means? She was bowed over and she couldn't straighten up. I don't know whether it was arthritis. I don't know exactly what it was. It might have been something like that. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said unto her, kind of sounds strange here. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, if you just stopped right there, you think that was kind of odd, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Here's a woman bowed over. She's been this way for 18 years. Jesus walks up to her and say, woman, you're loosed from that infirmity. What in the world could he mean by that? We'll find out in a minute. But what he meant was, woman, you have been released from that infirmity through a covenant. Since you're a daughter of Abraham, through a covenant you have for thousands of years, several thousand years, you have been redeemed from that. That's what he's saying to her, but I'll prove it. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, if it had ended right there, we wouldn't know why he said that, but listen, it goes on. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered unto him and said, you hypocrite, doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering? Now here's where it gets interesting. Ought not this woman, being a what?
Daughter
of Abraham. Was she one of Abraham's literal daughters?
No.
She was one of the Jews. She was one that had this covenant promise with God. Ought not. What does that mean? It means she had a right to healing. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom God has bound. Did God bound her?
No.
Satan has bound these 18 years. Well, maybe God bound her 2 years and Satan did it 16. Would settle for that?
No.
No. Satan bound her the whole 18 years. And shouldn't she be loose from this bond then? Even on the Sabbath day?
Yes,
she should. That's what he meant when he said to her, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. Stand up for your rights. She obviously didn't know what he meant, so he laid hands on her and got her healed. And then he said, this woman ought to be healed. She is a daughter of Abraham, and Satan is binding her for 18 years. Wait a minute. If she's redeemed from the curse, a daughter of Abraham, what's Satan doing binding her? She has a legal right to be released from this curse. What's going on?
Because she don't know it.
She doesn't know it. Or if she did, she forgot it. Or if she knew it, she wasn't using her rights. Did that ever happen today, do you suppose?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the same boat that woman was. Now, we have a right to this, because if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise? Just like this woman was. You know, the next time you're bowed over and can't lift yourself up or any other sickness, and you know what somebody ought to walk up to you and do, some other Christian ought to say, don't you know you're loose from this infirmity? What are you doing putting up with this? Don't you know you're loose from this in the name of Jesus? I'm going to lay hands on you this time and you can agree with me, but next time stand up for your rights. You know, that would be the same thing today. Ought not this woman named Marianne, ought not this woman named Sue, ought not this woman named Madge, ought not this woman named Karen, ought not this man named Mike be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day, being a daughter of Abraham or a son of Abraham, or better yet, redeemed from the curse of the law? Because what? If ye be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs to this promise too. Wow. That's pretty neat. Well, I'll tell you something. If I've been redeemed from the curse, and I'm eligible for something called the blessing of Abraham, what's the next thing I want to do? I want to find out what it covers.
I want all I can get out of
it. I want all I can get. And you know what? You can't get all you can get unless you know what it covers. Because you won't know what to stand up for when Satan tries to take it away from you. If you don't know what it covers. You might just think, well, that's not in there. So you got to know what it covers. So turn back, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to go over this again because you need it, because it's been a while. You need to see some of these things in here again. Get it freshly in your mind so you know what your rights are. Praise God. Verse 1, it shall come to pass. If, this is what the old, even, you know, this is the Old Testament, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So this was their blessing back then, the blessing of Abraham. We're just part of it now. It'll come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. That means he's going to separate those who have this right to this blessing. They're going to be different than everyone else on the earth. God's going to take them out of there and set them on high and say, this is your blessing. Here's what it is. All right, now, it's a little different for us now because in those days, they had to perfectly keep this covenant for this to be. You see what it says here? But what's our one commandment today? What is it?
Obey.
Well, more specific, love. Love one another. To love God with all our heart and with all our mind. All right? Now, Jesus perfectly kept this covenant, didn't he? He never sinned. And we're in who? We're in Jesus. So as far as God's concerned, we've perfectly kept the covenant. You understand that? Because we're part of his body. Now, here's your blessing. Get ready. And all these blessings, you shouldn't settle for any less than all of these. You go through here, and if I read it and you go, yippee-doo-dah, I got two of these. I can see those in my life. If you don't have them all, you don't have everything you're entitled to. Because I went through here one time, and I read a couple of them, and I got that, I can see that. And I went back and read it, and it says, all these blessings are on me. Well, I'm not enjoying them all, Lord. Well, then use your authority. Get them going. So I said, well, okay, I will. So for years, before I would go on a business trip, I would read these blessings to the Lord. And I'd say, Lord, this is my blessing. And I'd say things like this. I'd say, Lord, and we'll read these in a minute. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm going out today, Lord. I'm on a trip. But I'll be blessed. Because your word says, I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed in the city. I'm going to the city, Lord. I'm going to be blessed when I get there. You said you'd bless everything I set my hand to. Lord, I'm setting my hand today to this particular task. Thank you, Father, that my hand shall be blessed. All that I set my hand to today is going to be blessed. Father, you said that you'd make me the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. When I meet with those people today, Lord, I'm going to be the head, not the tail. I'm going to be above and not beneath. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be the one they look to. Lord, and if someone would rise up against me some way today, he's going to flee before me seven ways. Because, Lord, I am the blessed. I have a right to this blessing. I declare in the name of Jesus before you and your Heavenly Father and before Satan and all his devils that this blessing is mine. And nothing is going to hinder this blessing coming to pass in my life this day in Jesus' name. And we saw tremendous success, tremendous blessing. I've seen the Lord rise up in a meeting against someone that came against me and put him down without even doing anything. Someone else would stand in the meeting and say, shut up and sit down. He knows what he's talking about. I actually had that happen in a meeting once when I was attacked by a bunch of people. I didn't have to say anything. This other person stood up and told him, shut up and sit down. Because I claimed, the Lord will cause any enemy that rise up against me to be smitten before my face. I saw it. They shall come out against me one way and flee before me seven ways. And there were about seven guys that were doing that. Now all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God and understand what the blessings are. And here they are. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. That means if your job is in the city or if it's out as a farmer, wherever it is, you're going to be blessed. Doesn't matter. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your children. Blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall be the increase of your kind. I think that means any pigs you might have. And the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket. That means what you gather in it. Your groceries. You're going to have plenty to eat. And your kneading troughs. That's what it says. Be blessed. Everything you cook. Everything you eat. All the food that you need. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Or blessed shall you be when you're going out. If you're going out somewhere, you're going to be blessed. If you're coming in from somewhere, you're going to be blessed. The Lord shall cause enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. That's a blessing. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven different ways. That's a blessing. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. I read that one time. Now, I'll tell you what happened here. I was one of these high faith Christian guys, and Marianne began to say after a while, when business was being blessed, we were being blessed, and Marianne said, you know what, we ought to really put some of this away for later in life. You're being blessed tremendously, but she put it away. And I said, doesn't matter if we do or don't, God will bless us when the time comes. Thought that was pretty cool, what I said. And she says, no, I think we need to put something away. I think God's blessing us, but I think to be good stewards, we need to save some of this. I thought, well, okay, Lord, poor Mary Ann, she doesn't have the faith that I have to understand that when the time comes, you'll just supernaturally give us the money. But I know from other experiences I've had, you want us to get an agreement, and since she won't come in agreement with me, I'm just trusting you when the time comes, I guess I'll come in agreement with her. And then I read this, and it showed me that Mary Ann was entirely right. It said here, the Lord will cause blessing upon you in your storehouses. I didn't have a storehouse. God says it's okay to have a storehouse, a savings account. I thought that would be a lack of faith to make it. Isn't that stupid? I was a baby Christian then. So I said, honey, I can see here in here a blessing. One of God's blessings is that we can have a storehouse. What is a storehouse anyway? It's something you put stuff you don't have to use right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You want to store it.
I mean, a pantry or a freezer or something else. You have a whole cattle killed or something like that. You can only eat one T-bone steak tonight. Maybe your wife has another one, but you still got plenty because when you killed that cow, you had more than two in there. It's okay to store it up. You don't have to just let it rot out there. You can freeze it and put it away for when you do need it later. And God showed me through this, it's okay, Mike. Put some of this money I'm giving you right now away. You can have a pension and a nice thing when you retire. Well, God, you could just make money if you had to. I'm not a counterfeiter. Well, God, you could just cause me to be blessed somehow. I could, but wouldn't it be easier just to put some of this away right now? In other words, God only works miracles, really, when he has to. He trusts us to have a little common sense sometimes. And so I saw in here that he would allow me to have this storehouse, and I said, Father, I see it. We're going to have a savings account. We're going to put some of this away. And it's going to be blessed. And you know what? From that moment forward, we had enough every year till I retired to put the maximum amount you could put in a retirement plan. The maximum. You're only allowed to put so much in there. And we put the maximum in there, and thank God that we did. Because that's what we're living on right now. Okay? And we're living good. But because Mary Ann prodded me a little bit, and because I learned an earlier lesson to get in agreement with my wife and not just head off into the boondocks on my own, and because God showed me one of his blessings was to have a storehouse, we set up one and we had one. And every year, God had enough at the end of the year. We had enough to fill it up. So we did that. He says he'll also bless all that you set your hand to. Now, you can't set your hand to robbing a filling station and be blessed. But anything that your job, you know, if you've got a job, go in there in the morning and claim, Father, everything I set my hand to today in my work is going to be blessed. You're going to cause me to work so efficiently, Father, that people are going to notice. Because everything I set my hand to, and today, Father, I'm setting my hand to whatever it might be. You tell him, and he'll bless it. All right? And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Your land, everything on your property. You don't have to stand for vandalism. You don't have to stand for people stealing stuff for you. I had something stolen from me one time, or some vandalism done in our house, and I read this, and I said, no, no more. I'm redeemed from this. I don't have to put up with it. No more, Satan. You're not going to mess around my house anymore. You're not going to have anybody knock my mailbox down anymore. And that was about 7 years ago. It's not happened since. Because God says he will bless the land which the Lord thy God gives me. So Satan, he may be outside our property, but he can't come on it. He knows that now. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he's sworn unto you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you're called to the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. If some guy had all these blessings going in his life, don't you think the world would be just a little bit, whoa, don't mess with that person. Look at the blessing they have on their lives. Well, that's the way it should be. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Oh, no, I don't want that, God. You don't want me to have anything. Money's the root of all evil. No, that's not what it says here. It says the Lord's going to make you plenteous in goods, unless you mess it up with your own confession. What does he say? He says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. It's just being loving money. He doesn't want you to love money. He just wants you to have plenty of it so you can live comfortably and give into his causes. He wants you to make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain into your land in your season, to bless all the work of your hand, not just some of it, all of it. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Is it a sin to borrow? No. all God is saying here, that you're going to get to a place with this blessing that you're going to be known as a lender, not a borrower. That's going to be your primary ministry, is lender, giver, not a borrower. You don't get there overnight, but eventually we did. We got to where we never had to borrow again, but it didn't happen overnight. I had to see these blessings in the Bible and begin to confess them with my mouth and believe it in my heart and begin to rebuke the enemy when he'd come against me. And I'd begin to loose the blessing in my life. And I'd go on a trip and I'd say the things that I've told you. That's when it works. You can't just sit back and say, well, if God wants to bless me, he will. If he doesn't want to bless me, he won't. That's the lazy person's answer. But when you see this, it says, I got to do something. I got to enforce this blessing in my life if I want to see it. You can be an old lazy bones, or you can get to work and start putting this to work in your life. It doesn't take a lot of work. You just get up in the morning and you say something like, as Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit my works this day unto you. And I'm the blessed, Father, because your word says I'm blessed. And all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 are mine. Lord, I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed in this city. I'm blessed in the field. If anyone rises up against...
I always wondered about that. Now you cleared that up, too.
Good. That's what Bible studies are for. Bless all that I set my hand to. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Now, if someone would rise up against me, thank God I'm going to see him flee before me seven ways this day, Father, because you're involved in my life. I'm not doing it. You are. But I believe you, and Satan, you'll not interfere in my life. You'll not try to stop the blessing in my life, because I forbid it in the name of Jesus. You do that for a while, and you watch your life change. You can't help but change unless God's a liar. Now, there is that possibility, I guess, for some people. But then the Bible says God's not a man that he can lie. Only men can lie. God can't. So we got it knocked, folks.
Yep.
It's up to us to enforce it, though. And that's the lesson that God didn't want me to leave tonight. He didn't want me to go on. He wanted me to show you that there's one more thing that they need to exercise their authority over, because so many of my children are not living up to what I purchased for them. They have it. It's theirs, but they're not using it because they're allowing Satan to steal it from them. They're not standing up for their rights. They're not using their authority over them. I told my people that if they would resist the devil, he would flee, but they're not resisting. I told my people that if they would cast him out, he would go, but they're not casting him out. I told my people if they gave no place to the devil, they give no place to the devil, but they're giving place to him. I told my people they have a blessing, but I never hear them confess it. I'm going to confess it. And I'm not telling you this tonight because I always do this, because I don't. I don't do it now since I've retired as much as I did before. But this is a pep talk for me as well. Because I don't care if you're retired. I don't care if I'm older. God's telling me, just like he's telling you, I need to do this more. I did this more when I was earning a living because I felt I needed to do this to keep the money flowing in. And now, you know, we got our retirement and all that. God is speaking to my heart, too, in here. And he's saying, you don't do this as much as you used to. And you put up with some things now that you didn't used to put up with. God's speaking to me, too. I'm not sitting here telling you this is the way it is. I'm speaking to myself as well. I can hear this in my own spirit. And God's saying, you need to do this more, Mike. You really do. And finally, verse 13, and the Lord, I love this one. This is the one I never forgot to say. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Have you ever felt like you're on the tail of the dog? And every time it wags, you fly around. The boss is here, and he says something, and somebody says something to that person. You're the last one in the thing, and you're doing the wagon. You're doing the work. No, I always claim God will make me the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. About the time I started doing that, I had my own business. I wasn't working for somebody else. I'm not saying you have to have your own business. I'm just saying you don't have to be the end of the tail of the dog. You can be the head, not the tail. You can be above only and not beneath. But you're going to have to enforce the blessing. That's what God wants you to know, okay? Now, that's not exactly the way my outline went, but that's the way God wants us to go, and that's good enough for me if it's good enough for you.
That's good enough. Okay. I have one leading question.
All right.
In behalf of all the mothers in this room and all the parents in this room who are thinking of our children for various reasons, it's perfectly fine for us to claim the fruit of your womb will be blessed.
Absolutely.
No matter what they're doing, you can claim it. It's your blessing. The fruit of your womb. Your daughter. My son. Blessing isn't just financial blessing. They should have all the blessings we have because they're the fruit of our womb, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Not only that, that was in the curse. Go back and read the curse of Deuteronomy 28:32. Did you hear what I said?
No, I was listening to...
That's fine. But that was in the curse. Listen to what the curse is. Verse 32, Deuteronomy 28. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and then I shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there is shall be no might in thine hand. Have you ever felt that way? Let me read again. I'm speaking mainly to Sue here. Now listen, Sue, this is in the curse. Your son and your daughters shall be given unto another people. This is the curse. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And you ever feel like there's no might in my hand? See, that's the curse. We can get depressed. We can look at things. We can look at the kids and the grandkids and all that stuff and say, you know, it's just going, this is not working. This is not working. But that's in the curse. You can come against that in the name of Jesus and say, that was in the curse. It's in Deuteronomy 28:32. That's a curse. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm not putting up with this anymore, Satan. In the name of Jesus, you'll not steal my children. You'll not steal my grandchildren. You're not going to work through this man, whoever he is, whatever his name is, in Jesus' name, because that's in the curse, and I'm redeemed from it, and I won't put up with it anymore. Now, I can't do it for you. But you've got the right to do that.
We can claim the fruit of our womb blessing. Just because.
Okay, of course, exactly you can. But I was just pointing out, even without the blessing, you're redeemed from the mess with the kids and all that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? In verse 32? I don't know what it says in the NIV. Might be good for somebody to read it. Anybody got that in the NIV? Honey, you got the NIV? Verse 32?
Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. Well, just the opposite would be, we are powerless.
That's what I'm saying. You're redeemed from that. You don't have to put up with that. That's the curse. That's what Satan wants you to do. If you see that in your life, a flag should go up and say, whoa, I don't have to put up with that.
Right.
Okay? Any more questions? Father, thank you for showing us, once again, some of our rights and privileges because we're children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, redeemed from the curse of the law, eligible for the blessing of Abraham, Father. All these things are ours, Father. All we have to do is to believe it, receive it, and confess it in our lives, and when it doesn't look like it's working, to assert our authority and take it back. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you that it's true in our lives. In Jesus' name we all pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
And so now let's go over the homework, lesson number 9 here, and see how we did. Okay, here we go. Number 1, true or false? Today, everyone has been legally redeemed by Jesus. True or false?
That's false.
They've not been legally redeemed, everyone?
It is true.
Everyone has been legally redeemed. Remember, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Half redeemed. We've all been redeemed from the curse. Everybody, when he went to that cross, he didn't leave anybody out. So the redemption is true for everyone. Where it's confusing, what you were thinking of, is that just because we've been redeemed from the curse by Jesus does not mean that everyone's taking advantage of it. Okay, it's sort of like if you're a citizen of this country, we're all citizens of the United States, but that doesn't mean we've all taken advantage of the rights and privileges that we have in this country to the same degree. So now, why I said legally redeemed is to focus on the fact that Jesus legally freed us. He redeemed everyone, but it's not actually working in everybody's life because they haven't done something that they need to do. We'll talk about that in the next question. True or false? Therefore, everyone will go to heaven. True or false? False. Not everyone will go to heaven. Would God like everyone to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't everyone going to heaven? If Jesus has redeemed everyone, why aren't they going there necessarily?
Because they've not confessed Jesus.
That's right. If you looked up my hint, John 1:12, did anybody do that?
Uh-huh.
What did it say? It said, as many as received Jesus, to them has he given power to become children or sons of God. Mm-hmm. But what's the key? To receive him, just like Madge said. We have to take advantage of it. Next question. What does the New Testament say we have been redeemed from? The curse
of the law.
Of the law, right. Mm-hmm. That would include sin. But it's more than just redeemed from sin. It includes other things as well, which we'll talk about later in our homework. True or false? Jesus said that whatever we bind or refuse to allow on earth will be bound or refuse to be allowed in heaven. True or false?
Mm-hmm. True.
True, he did say that. Next question. Jesus also said that whatever we loose or allow or set free, it may all mean the same thing, on earth will be loosed, allowed, or set free in heaven. True or false?
True.
Good. This means that Jesus from heaven will back up his body in whatever they allow or refuse to allow on the earth.
That's false.
Yeah, I had true for that, but then I thought, wait a minute. That there are some exceptions, and it has to be in line with the Word of God, you know. But anything that the Bible says that we have, or is our right, that we refuse to allow the curse, and we allow the blessing in our life, God will back that up because that's in line with his word. So I made a little mistake with that question. Really, false is really the right answer the way I stated it. But what I meant was, if it was in line with his word. I could make that statement true by adding, as long as it doesn't violate God's word. And then it would be true. Okay? Is everybody okay with that question? Even though I didn't word it too well. True or false? This means it's God's responsibility in heaven to see that we remain free from the effects of the curse and we receive Abraham's blessing in our lives.
I think that's false.
That's false. Because why?
It's not God's responsibility.
It's not
God's responsibility.
That's right. He's done all he can do. He sent his son to the cross. He purchased this redemption from us. And that dog's having a great time with that water out there. But if, when you're thirsty, you got to drink. All right. It is not God's responsibility. If we allow the curse, he'll allow the curse in our lives. If we refuse to enforce the blessing, he'll refuse to enforce it. In other words, it's up to us. But whatever we do, he'll back up, as long as it's in line with the Word of God. Name three things that are part of the curse of the law. Let me name three things. Marianne, you start off.
Poverty.
Poverty. That's in the curse.
Spiritual death.
Spiritual death is in the curse. What else?
Sickness.
Sickness, right. Sickness, disease, all that's in the curse. Why is it important for us to understand what was in the curse? What do you think?
So we can head it off.
So we can head it off. That's a very good way to put it. So you can head it off. So you know that if you're experiencing that, it's not God's will. You've been redeemed from it, and you can refuse or bind, see that? Refuse to allow or bind that curse in your life by saying something like this. Satan, in the name of Jesus, the Word of God says in Galatians 3:13 that I was redeemed from the curse of the law. And in that curse, say you're suffering the effects of sickness, with sickness and disease, you're trespassing on God's property here, Satan. You're illegally putting this sickness upon me. I refuse to allow it in Jesus' name and command you to take your hands off of me right now. You see, you know what's in the curse. You know that Jesus purchased you from this. You don't have to put up with it anymore. I wish more people understood this. But more and more are. Name six things that are part of the blessing of Abraham. Okay, let's just go through that. Name one. Prosperity is in the blessing.
Eternal life.
Eternal life, good, is in the blessing.
Your enemies will be defeated.
The enemy will be defeated. If he rises up against you one way, he'll flee seven ways. Right, Marianne, that's good. Name one more thing that's in the blessing.
Lender, not a borrower.
You'll be a lender and not a borrower. That doesn't mean it's wrong to borrow, but it means you'll be known more for being a lender than you will a borrower eventually if you'll enforce this blessing in your life. Good, Marianne. What else? Anything else?
Health and healing.
Health and healing. That's in the blessing. Good for you. By Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. Himself, the Lord Jesus, took your infirmity. He bore your sickness. All right? I like this one. He'll make you the head and not the tail. That just sounds good to me. He'll be above only and not beneath. If you find yourself in a beneath situation, you can just enforce that blessing in your life and get out from underneath. Christians shouldn't be under everything. We should be on top. Because we're not because we're better than anyone, but because we've been redeemed from the curse and eligible for the blessing. He says he'll bless all that we set our hand to. That's in the blessing. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Even when you're cleaning your house, that's a good thing to have. All right. Did God send the curse on Adam?
No.
He got it because he
disobeyed
God. How about Job? We hear all the time that God put the curse on Job. Did he?
No, he didn't.
If you go back and read that real closely, and if you read the scriptures here, did you have something you wanted to say about that, man? Sure.
Well, I was going to say the devil asked the Lord to let him test Job.
Yeah.
And he told him he could, but he didn't dare kill him.
Right. But it wasn't God that did it, was it?
No, it was a devil.
God allowed it to happen, and why do you think God allowed that to happen? If you go back and look at the Hebrew on that, it says, look and see, behold, he's in your power. In other words, Job had been worrying about his kids so much, and all the partying and stuff they were doing, and said all he did was worry continually. Then when the things came on Job, he said, well, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Mm-hmm. He was in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. God said, Satan, he's in your hand. In other words, behold means look and see. Open your eyes, Satan. And Satan's, yeah, he is, you know, and he went over and did it. And then he said, Job says, a thing that I greatly fear has come upon me. And then he said another interesting thing. He said, how forcible are right words? Be careful what you say, basically what he was saying. It's kind of interesting if you go back and really read Job and try to take your denominational eyeglasses off or your traditional eyeglasses, I guess I should say, of what people said over the years, that how God cursed Job and God did all this to Job, and go back and find out that really what God did for Job is at the very end of the book. He blessed him with twice as much as he had before.
Yeah.
Now, we almost might be talking about receiving the blessing of Job instead of the blessing of Abraham. It was so good. But so that's an interesting... God did not send the curse on Adam or Job, either one. God didn't send the blank, he sent the blank. He didn't send the what? He sent the blessing, but I was just trying to take out one letter of the word curse, if you look on the outline, and it's the, take out the S and what do you got?
Cure.
He didn't send the curse, he sent the cure. That's pretty good, isn't it? Just take the S out of curse and you got what God did.
That was on the outline?
Yeah. That's why.
The thing I caught. you had four places there. I thought the Lord. Said the Lord. That was the answer. Okay.
Look, I've got even a blank on that outline. He sent the C U R blank E. Jesus. On D. On. Under four.
Oh yeah.
See, the thing was last night. I kind of didn't follow the outline as close as I do sometimes because I just kind of felt the Lord wanted to kind of go in a little bit different direction. Which I think we were supposed to do, but you still had the old outline there for the homework. Usually the homework, I'll follow the outline pretty closely, if you've noticed. It's true or false? Satan knows I'm redeemed from the curse. True or false?
I don't think he does.
You don't?
Well, I thought you had to tell him.
Well,
you tell him every day?
See, let's put it this way, Madge. I understand what you're saying is. He really does know that we're redeemed from the curse. But says 1 Peter 5:8 says, as a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he can devour. Just because it's legally true, everybody doesn't know it. And so Satan will come in on them and try to curse them and bring bad things on them because they don't know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So Satan knows it, but people sometimes don't know it.
Satan knows it, but he doesn't know if you know it.
Yeah.
If you know it,
see the difference there? He knows, you know, that's why he knows we're redeemed from the curse. He knows that Jesus went to the cross and he purchased his redemption from everyone. He knows that. He knows that we're redeemed from the curse. That doesn't mean he can do anything about it if we don't allow it. We can stop him. That's why the lesson last week, really. That just because he knows that we have certain rights and privileges as Christians doesn't mean he's going to leave us alone because even though he knows it, we might not know it. See, if Satan didn't know we were redeemed from the curse, we could say to him, Satan, I'm redeemed from the curse. In Jesus' name, leave me alone. And then he would know it then, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So I imagine he's heard that a few times. He only has to hear it once to know it. I think there's a few Christians out there that are totally the truth about this. Even if he didn't know it before, he knows it because I told him.
I told him.
So he does know it. Okay. True or false? Since I'm redeemed from the curse cannot affect my life.
False.
False. You gotta what? Enforce your what you have, right? With using what? The name of Jesus and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Use the name of Jesus because there's the power. And use the Word of God because remember that's what Jesus did to Satan, didn't he? He says, Satan, it is written. He can't go against God's word. When Jesus was being tested, remember he kept saying, it is written? Yes, you know, okay. True or false? Since I'm a Christian, I'm eligible for Abraham's blessing. True or false?
That's true.
We're eligible for Abraham's blessing. Since I'm a Christian, I'll automatically, it means, receive Abraham's blessing in my life.
You've got to accept it.
Right, you've got to enforce it. Just because you're a Christian, you can't just sit back on your blessed assurance and not do anything. You've got to enforce it, right? I mean, don't we all know Christians who are eligible for Abraham's blessing but don't know what we're talking about in this lesson and aren't experiencing that blessing in their life simply because Satan knows they don't understand it and he comes in and tries to rob them. He'll try to take what you have. He goes about as a roaring lion trying to take what you legally have. But that's why we've got to stand up in the name of Jesus and say, no, you're not going to do it. That's the whole purpose of the lesson, really. Now, here's our bonus questions. True or false? If something is not negative, it must be positive. Is that true? Is everything either positive or negative? Is there any other possibility? Let's take arithmetic.
That's false, but I can't remember what you told us about arithmetic.
Okay, it's false.
Zero thing in the middle.
Is zero positive?
That's
no.
What I kept thinking.
Is zero negative? No. Zero is neutral. There are neutral things. There are things that are neither positive, neither negative. There are things right in between.
I was almost late to work the other morning.
You were? That would be negative. But it'd be positive that you were doing your lesson. So, thinking about that, if I'm not in poverty, I must be prospering.
That's false, too.
That's false for the same reason. Just because you're not poor doesn't mean that you've got all the blessing and stuff going in your life that you need. There's a lot of people that kind of fall in this middle ground. They say, well, I'm not poor. Okay. But are you receiving Abraham's blessing? Well, no. I'm not doing that. All right. If I don't have the curse in my life, I must have Abraham's blessing. True or false? False. Because that's why God gave us both. If he just said you're redeemed from the curse, and every time the enemy tried to put the curse on you, you'd back him off with that in the name of Jesus, you'd be free of the curse, but that would mean you'd still have all the blessings. So God gave us both. He didn't just redeem us from the curse. He went one step further and said, not only am I taking these bad things out of your life, if you'll enforce this thing when Satan tries to rob you, I am going to add all these blessings also. So I didn't see that for a long time. Then all of a sudden one day I was reading this and I thought, my goodness, look what the Lord's done. He redeemed us from all these bad things. And then he made all these good things a right to all these good things, too. Now, I'll give you an example of that in the Bible. Think about this for a second. This is real easy. Do you remember Jehoshaphat back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when he was being attacked by his enemies? And he went before the Lord and he said, oh, Lord, he says, all these troops are coming against us and everything. Well, he got the whole country together basically, and they all fasted and prayed, and he prayed and prayed to God. At the end of the prayer, God had a prophet stand up and speak to him and says, I have heard your prayer. You will not have to fight in this battle, but you will have to go out against them. And so Jehoshaphat, they rejoiced in the fact that what God had spoken to them, and then they went out to watch what was going to happen, and they saw all these enemies of theirs fighting themselves in the field. Okay. That, the Lord showed me, was the equivalent of being redeemed from the curse. The curse did not come upon them. That could have. You understand me so far? Then they went out in the field and gathered up all the spoil, and it took them 3 days to gather it up. That's the blessing. See, they could have stopped just with the redeemed from the curse, and that would mean the enemies wouldn't have succeeded. That would be like Satan not succeeding in your life. You stop him in the name of Jesus. But there's a further step God wants us to take, and that's to receive Abraham's blessing. And that's sort of like when Jehoshaphat went in the field and found all this stuff out there, gold, jewels, and it said it took him 3 full days to gather up everything
and
that was out there.
What would have happened if he hadn't obeyed?
Yes, he lost all that, see. If he would have stayed back, because God says, now you go out in the morning against them. Now see, that's exactly what we're talking about. If he'd have stayed back in the camp and said, well, Lord, I'll just trust you, take care of this. I'm not going out there thinking, you know, something might happen to me bad. They wouldn't have received any of this. Not redeemed the curse, and they wouldn't receive the blessing either. But see, this is an exact parallel for us. We need to go out there, confront the enemy, say no in the name of Jesus, and then not only will we receive not the curse, but we'll get all the blessing too. So you end up, this is what's neat about the blessing, you end up after the trial better off than before the trial even started. That's a pretty good deal. You go from defeat to not only nothing but victory, and more than you had before. So you come out of the deal better than you went in. That's what it really means, to be redeemed from the curse and eligible for the blessing. Okay. When do we become legally free from the curse? Now, I think you know that. He says, Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed man from the curse of the law. So when did we become free?
When
he did that. When he went to the cross and was raised from the dead. So we are already, everyone, legally free from the curse. When to become legally eligible to receive Abraham's blessing? All right, let's go back. Let's go back to Galatians 3:13 and read this, because it's so important. And then I think this will stay with you forever. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's already happened. Why? When would it happen? It tells you right here. When he was made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So when Jesus went to the cross, mankind was redeemed from the curse of the law. But mankind better enforce that thing, or they won't have it in their lives. Then, he did this that the blessing of Abraham might come. That we might receive that. We receive that when we're born again, because it says here, that might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It says that Abraham and his seed were these promises made, and if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's verse 29. So to answer these both these questions, number one, every man is redeemed from the curse that they might receive the blessing. You receive the blessing when you accept Jesus as your Savior. But still, even then, you have to enforce it. You have to go out against that enemy when he comes against you, and you have to tell him where he has to stop, and then you have to, and then you say, Father, not only am I redeemed from the curse of the law, I'm eligible for the blessing. Thank you. I accept that by faith in my life right now, in Jesus' name. And then when you think about it during the day or sometime, if you're undergoing any kind of trial in this area, just keep thanking the Lord that he's redeemed you from this, and then it will gradually come to pass in your life. It's a wonderful truth from God's Word. When will we actually see this blessing working in our lives? When we claim it and enforce it in our lives using the name of Jesus and the Word of God. Good. Well, that's the end of our lesson series on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. It took us 9 weeks to get there, but we finally got there, and I think if you ever have a problem, and you ever have you want to get the devil out of your life in some area, this would be a good series of lessons to look to. So, Father, thank you for helping us with this lesson. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that we have a way to spoil the devil's plan for our life. And a good part of that is knowing our authority that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.